Englandy. This is the moment the crowd have waited for. Just look at him go.
Congratulations, Catherine, on your wonderful performance in winning the gold medal in the 400 metre event of the Commonwealth Games.
Ian Thorpe really going for it. 3:40.17. This is absolutely amazing.
Tracy Wickham, a great world record here in Edmonton, and there it is, a world record.
The Diamonds Commonwealth drought has broken.
The hockey revolution has a golden uprising.
Adam Ayres, congratulations, and a games record. Adam Ayres has got a hat-trick of gold medals at the Commonwealth Games.
This is something to savour, something to remember for the rest of your life.
Get set, Australia. Welcome to Gold Coast Gold. Here's your host, Dave Colbert.
Hello and welcome to episode 35 of Gold Coast Gold. I'm David Colbert. Team announcements and plenty of news this week as we celebrate less than 2 months to go to the Games. On this edition, we speak with the dynamic duo, Jen Lacaze and Ryan Gregson, the glamour couple of track and field as we preview the athletics trials, which gets underway on the Gold Coast next week. But before we speak with Jen and Ryan, and as we count down with just 8 Fridays to go to the Gold Coast Games, let's take a look at the headlines from another big week in Commonwealth Games news. The Australian netball team for the Games has been announced with 12 athletes in the Diamonds side that includes 5 Commonwealth Games gold medalists. Current Diamonds captain Caitlin Bassett and vice-captain Gabby Simpson will lead Australia at the Games. Laura Geitz joins the Diamonds for the first time since 2015 Constellation Cup after taking the 2016 and 17 international seasons off for the birth of her first child. Defensive trio April Brandley, Courtney Bruce and Joe Weston, midquarters Gabby Simpson and Liz Watson, and shooter Stephanie Wood have all earned their maiden Commonwealth Games team selections. 5 members of the 2014 team who broke Australia's Commonwealth Games netball gold medal drought return to the side, including the captain Caitlin Bassett, Laura Geitz, Kim Revillian, Maddie Robinson and Caitlin Thwaites. And this is a great story. Veteran shooter Susan Pettit has also been named after missing selection for the 2014 Commonwealth Games, the 2015 Netball World Cup. She returns to her third Commonwealth Games. An amazing story. And of course, she's still hunting a gold because Susan was part of the Commonwealth Games silver medal teams from Melbourne and Delhi in 2006 and 2010. Australia opens its 2018 campaign against Northern Ireland on the second day of the Games before its remaining pool matches against Barbados, South Africa, Fiji and Jamaica. In diving, Commonwealth Games Australia has announced the diving team for the Games. The 14-strong team will be headlined by Melissa Wu, who will be competing in her 4th Commonwealth Games. Wu has been a fixture of Australian teams since competing in Melbourne in 2006 at just the age of 13. 6 other members of previous Games experience, including James Connor from Delhi, Annabelle Smith from Delhi and Glasgow, with Madison Keeney, Esther Quinn, Dominic Bedgood and Georgia Sheehan all having competed in Glasgow. Bedgood and Quinn were gold medalists from Glasgow and Keeney is the reigning 1 metre world champion. The full diving team can be found on the Commonwealth Games Australia website. And as we briefly mentioned last week, the Australian team uniform has been unveiled. Diadora will once again provide the competition wear for Australia's 470-strong athletes across 18 sports, whilst RM Williams has created the uniforms to be featured in the opening and closing ceremonies. There's 58,000 individual items which have been produced by Diadora for the Australian team, with a total number of more than 700 athletes and officials. In athletics, the nomination trials for the athletics team for the Gold Coast kicks off next week, but our walkers will be in action this weekend in Adelaide in the 20-kilometre trial. News that this week that London Olympic champion Jared Talent is out of the team is a setback for the Australians, but Rio 20-kilometre bronze medalist Dane Bird-Smith will still be the favourite for the 20-kilometre walk event at the Games. In the women's event, Claire Talent will be chasing a 5th Australian 20K title. Defending champion Regan Lamble and 2016 winner Rachel Talent will also be in the mix for Games selection. In other news, the Hockey Roos 5-game series with China remains all square after a 1-1 draw in Game 3 in Perth. Meanwhile, Kookaburra's coach Colin Batch concedes selection for next month's Sultan Aslan Shah Cup in Malaysia is going to be fierce in the sign of things to come for the Commonwealth Games. The Kookaburras enjoyed a tough 4-match test series with the Netherlands, which concluded with a 6-1 win to the Australians in Perth. And the series was decided on goal difference, with the Australians taking it after each side claimed one win along with two draws. In triathlon, Commonwealth Games-bound Charlotte McShane secured the silver in a sprint finish in the 2018 Glenelg Sprint Triathlon Oceania Cup. And in volleyball, Australia has taken both silver and bronze medals in the Men's World Tour Beach Volleyball event in Shepparton. Defending champions and Australia's number one ranked men's team of Chris McHugh and Damien Schumann went down to the US in the final. And Australia's next best team of Zachary Schubert and Cole Durant were convincing bronze medalists after a crushing win over Germany. Australia's number one women's team of Taliqua Clancy and Maria Fe Artacho del Sola missed this tournament, with Clancy still nursing a foot injury. And we're not too far away from learning which two teams in the men and women will go to the Gold Coast Games. In badminton, the groups of the men's for the mixed team badminton have been drawn, with competing nations drawn into four groups and the schedule for the group playoff stage confirmed. Malaysia are looking for their fourth consecutive gold medal in the exciting team competition, with top-seeded India determined to win the event on the Gold Coast. Australia is drawn in Group C against England, South Africa and Uganda. After playing each nation in their group, the top two nations from each qualifying group go to the quarterfinals, where the knockout phase begins. And finally, Olympians and Commonwealth Game medalists Mark Stockwell and Sarah Carrigan will take on the role of co-mayor of the Gold Coast Village in 2018, welcoming teams from 70 nations and territories across the Commonwealth. Stockwell, the former swimmer, chaired the successful Games bid from 2010 to 2011. And Sarah Carrigan, of course, the Olympic road race champion from Athens in cycling, had a significant involvement in the bid as a member of the sport and technical committee. And just before we go, the Queen's Baton continues its journey, wrapping up its time in New South Wales and Tasmania, and it's now heading across various locations in Victoria on its way to the opening ceremony on Wednesday, the 4th of April. And that's this week's Commonwealth Games News. Our feature interview on Gold Coast Gold this week is the glamour couple of Australian track and field, Jen Lacaze and Ryan Gregson. They're at Falls Creek at the top of Australia, where they've been training their backsides off ahead of the athletics selection trials, which is next week on the Gold Coast. Ryan and Jen, welcome to Gold Coast Gold.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
We'll start with you, Jen. Where do you start? Do I start with the proposal and the fact that you're engaged to be married? Do I go straight to Kylie and the stage bomb in Glasgow? Where will I start? What I will start with is, how's your form and how's training going up at Falls Creek ahead of the trials?
Yeah, it's been an interesting few months for me. Obviously, at the end of last season, I found out I had a pretty bad injury, but progression's been really well. I had a long time off and did a lot of cross-training as usual. So, I mean, the engagement just gave me a lot of motivation to cross-train harder, I guess. But I've been up here for a month now and training's going really well. I'm getting fitter by the week and watching my times get faster and faster each session. And we leave tomorrow, actually, so it's been a very successful camp.
Are you intending on racing the trials then, if that's the case? You've already got the a qualifier in the steeplechase and in a pretty strong position there for selection.
Yeah, so what I've done is I've spoken with Athletics Australia and definitely shown my intention. I've entered into the 5K and the 3K steeple, actually, and I will be flying up to the Gold Coast with hopes to race, but it's going to come down to doctors and my coach, I think, to make the final decision whether it's a bit risky to really push for it. And it'll really just be if I think I'm going to be up for selectors' discretion to select me in the team anyway. I'd like to bypass the trials to not risk my body, but, you know, if it comes down to them saying I have to run, I'll be ready to go as well.
So what's the injury?
I had a stress fracture in the fourth metatarsal, but I had it before World Champs and ended up redoing it after World Champs. So it was a bit of a not a good fracture to have. It was on the tension side of the foot, so under the foot, which meaning it was a very difficult one to heal. So I had a long time off after last season.
How stressful has that been?
Yeah, it's not easy. It's definitely the hardest side to our sport. When you're fit and healthy and strong, that's the easiest part, really. So it's been a huge mental challenge for me the last 12 months, but it's also made me hungrier to get back to the top and replicate 2016.
Ryan, what about you? How's your body? Because you've had injury up and downs over the journey, and Australian record holder still, of course, in the 1500 metres, and would love to get back into that sort of shape where you're running the low 330s in the 1500.
Yeah, definitely. That's the plan. Injury-wise, I've been pretty good since about the end of 2014. I've only ever had a couple of hiccups since then, and nothing major. So touch wood, it stays that way. So yeah, pretty much from the end of 2010 to the end of 2014, it was 4.5 years of I pretty much had a day off every day that I ran. So it was a lot of injuries. But since then, everything's gone pretty well. As well as it can go in a sport where you're pushing yourself a lot. But at the end of last season, I had to take a bit of extra time off as well, bit of illness and a slight bit of injury, nothing serious. But so I was a bit delayed kind of getting into this campaign, a bit delayed than usual. But that also, a bit like Genevieve, it made it quite enjoyable coming back, starting training in November, December, and knocking huge chunks off the time. It gives you lots of motivation when you can see that improvement on the clock each week.
Unlike Jen, who's the only athlete that's got the A qualifier in the steeplechase, there's a few, including Vicky Mitchell, who's hot on her heels in the 1500, the 5000. There's more, Eloise and Wellings, who we spoke to in an earlier edition of Gold Coast Golden, Maddie Hills, have got the A qualifier. As well as Lyndon Hall, who's going to run the 1500. The 1500, Ryan, is stacked. Lukey Matthews, Jordan Williams, Sam McAtee have got the A. Jordan Gussman is right there as well. But you're going to go in cold into the trials. No racing, just get into it. It's brave.
I will be first up from a spell, but I have done a couple of trials and trialed well. So, Winks will be first up at the start of March, and I'm sure the punters will still be on him. So I don't think it's going to lessen my chances at all. Because we are able to replicate things in training just as well as races. And the plan is to, run well at the trial, and then literally that night, Sunday night of the trial, I head over to Europe to do a couple of indoor races and then onto the World Indoors. So the trials will be my first race of this campaign, but it'll be the first of a series of races, hopefully leading into the Commonwealth Games.
Jen, just tell us about Falls Creek and why you love it up there. You do spend a lot of time there with the Melbourne Track Club, and other athletes come and go. And over the Christmas New Year break, there's a massive number of Australian athletes up at Falls Creek. What's the attraction?
Yeah, I think for most of the running culture that is created up here comes from tradition, and I think that's a huge factor that gets the numbers up here. But for me, it's just, it becomes a second home. We spend our life on the road and at training camps all over the world. It's nice to spend so much time at a training camp actually in Australia. We're on the same time zone as family. We can contact them easily. But we're also surrounded by a lot more athletes here that are based in Melbourne that come and train up here and come and go, a little more frequently. With the training camps in Laguna and Spain and wherever else we go in the world, it's definitely more kind of exclusive and elite. There's not many of us, and it does get, not boring, but it's quiet. There's not as much entertainment. Falls Creek, there's always so much to do, so many people. It's such an easy lifestyle. There's, enough cafes to keep you sane. And, it's just easy living. Train hard, sleep easy.
The Winter Olympics kicking off today. We're recording this on our Friday, as we normally do with Gold Coast Gold. And is there a Winter Olympic vibe up there? Do the people that are left on the mountain get into it?
I can't say.
I actually went and saw a masseuse down at Mount Beauty the other day, and she was so excited because she's treated a few years before, I think. And she was, naming a few of the team members that she'd treated in the past. So I think some of the locals around Mount Beauty that I've spoken to are really excited, but when we're up at Falls Creek, there's really not many people up here.
Yeah, not so much Falls. They're kind of like, it's a different bunch. A lot of people who are just kind of transients in staying here, like might be a Kiwi staying here, working over for a year, doing a ski season, then a summer season like that. But Mount Beauty, they have, Winter Olympic stars who were born and bred in Mount Beauty, which is like 30 minutes away, which is a bit more of a population. So think that's where the majority of them come from.
What about, let's just go back to Glasgow for both of you. Jen, you were fifth in the steeple. Ryan, you talked about that that injury stretch from 2010 all the way through to 2014. You were in the heats in the 1500. How much motivation is there for both of you to go back to the Commonwealth Games and achieve, you know, something that you know you're capable of?
Yeah, for me, there's a huge motivation factor. Just the fact that I came fifth last time, I felt like a baby and I didn't know what I was doing. And when I finished fifth, I thought, wow, a medal is so close. You know, if I actually go in with the mindset I have now as a much more professional athlete, it's definitely something that, you know, gets me going every single day. I think about it very often. And then with the factor of it being on the Gold Coast, I was born on the Gold Coast and grew up there. And being a Queenslander, there's that home advantage, and I would love nothing more than to medal in front of friends and family that don't get to see me compete much. So they're definitely factors I honestly think about nearly every day.
What about you, for you, Ryan?
Yeah, me. There was bloody Glasgow was just embarrassing. I couldn't even hop onto a step. I had a scan and I was really hard on myself. I ran terribly, but then I had a scan the next day. I had a stress fracture in my femur, which probably explained a few things that I couldn't really generate much power. But I don't think anyone has got from the track to the warm-up track as quick as I did that day, bypassing everyone. I probably ran quicker getting from the track to the warm-up track through the mix zone, quicker than I actually did after the race, quicker than I actually ran in the race. So, that was a hard pill, but 2018 Gold Coast, it's just something that, you know, was always penned down for so long when we found out what a Gold Coast beat. Did it beat Hambantanoa or something in Sri Lanka?
Yep, Sri Lanka, that's right. Gee, yeah. I reckon you're the only person in 35 editions of this podcast, I reckon you're the only one that would have named Hambantoa as the defeated host.
I'm assuming.
Well done.
But no, ever since, you know, it was... locked in, you know, I think I speak for all athletes here. It's always an event where you want to, you know, perform. You see what, you know, an athlete like John Stephenson was able to do in 2006 in front of a home crowd, you know, it made him, you know, he's a star now. And but what's crazy about that is you think it's so far away, and then it just creeps up on you. Life does travel fast, and I can't believe it's only 2 months away, but no, we are prepared.
Yep, as we've been doing every week on the Gold Coast Gold podcast, this is episode 35. We've been counting down the number of Fridays to go. This is eight Fridays to go to the opening ceremony, and then there's 5 or 6 days until the athletics start. So it is getting closer, no doubt. Let's just go to the closing ceremony in Glasgow when Kylie Minogue's appearing on the stage and everyone's having a good time. The natural thing to do is to get up on stage and dance with her, Jen.
Yeah.
And when it's your birthday, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I don't know if it's the natural thing to do, but yeah, definitely the mindset of a young girl turning 25, it was definitely the thing to do.
Do you regret it?
No, I don't regret it. It was a lot of fun, and that was, you know, one of my fond memories of 2014. But I think no one really knows how much stress and expectation and everything is off the athletes when the games finish. I mean, in any major championship, there's so much, you know, that goes into the lead up, and you know, the closing ceremony is a chance for us all to relax and enjoy the moment. And I think I probably enjoyed the moment a little bit too much, but I also got to dance on stage with one of the most iconic Aussies around, so I definitely won't regret it.
Are you going to the closing in? If you're in the team, will you go to the closing ceremony on the Gold Coast?
Oh, of course, I could never skip that. I don't know if security will be as lax. I think there'll be guards at every point of the stage, but I'll do my own, you know, little dancing in front of the stage, maybe.
Very good. Let's turn our attention quickly to Rio, where both of you are on fire. Jen, you had such an unbelievable 2016 with PBs virtually every time you put the spikes on, but 3 PBs. At the Games, 2 finals in the 5,000 and the steeplechase. And Ryan, you made the Olympic final in the 1,500 metres as well, which was such an open affair that virtually half the field, in fact more than that, were potential medalists. What was the secret to the success in 2016 for both of you?
I think one of the biggest things was both of us, we just, you know, were uninterrupted for so many months leading into 2016. And then, you know, right through the year, we didn't miss a day due to injury. We, you know, were layer upon layer. We also race very well, and with that comes confidence and durability. And also another thing that's very rare in the sport, especially for a couple, is, you know, our good days were falling on the same days. Like, we were able to celebrate the highs together, you know, the whole step, every step of the way. And in Rio, I started us off, and, you know, I don't, obviously Ryan, I think, could have competed well no matter what, but it did help that his partner, you know, went out there first and ran well, and then I could come off really confident, tell him I felt great and that training has obviously gone really well, and then he could step out there knowing that, you know, his preparation had just been just as good, if not better. Little things like that definitely come into play, and I think we just rubbed off on each other every month of the year right up until the biggest stage for us. And it's definitely a year that will be very memorable for me, because I think it was the epitome of us helping one another in such a tough individual sport. We definitely were team players.
What about for you, Ryan?
Yeah, that, and just, yeah, the reiterate the momentum and the consistency. Like, in 2015, we were both able to stay on the park pretty much all year, which really helps. And then, you know, you have your break at the end of 2015, have a couple of weeks off, bit of a spell, and then start back up again. Then, you know, we were just so fit from not missing any training. And I think when you usually look back, it's when you're, or distance runners especially, when we look back at when our best performances are, it's been a really long stretch of consistent training. No in particular session that stands out, but just consistent training. And I think, yeah, what comes of that is that, you know, the momentum of the consistent racing, you might be, you know, always finishing on the podium, and it just gets easier because you always expect to run well. You don't, like, bad performances don't even creep in, because they haven't been happening. So I think that really helps.
One of the interesting things we're finding on Gold Coast Goals, we talk to so many athletes from across many sports, is that other athletes from other sports are really enjoying hearing the stories of their fellow teammates, albeit in a different sport. And athletics, individual sport, you're part of a bigger team. And the individual coaches in athletics, you know, play such a strong role. Your coach, both of your coach, Nick Bedeau, who's not there all the time, he's not there, you know, with the stopwatch every day. It's sort of a strange athletics coaching relationship. In that regard, is that a fair thing to say? And what does Nick bring to the table for you guys?
That's a fair thing to say, but I also think that when Nick has a family, you know, he's got a lot of obligations that he needs to look after. So it does. He's here when he can be, but he's not here the whole time. But I think that also encourages and promotes, you know, people being strong individuals and leadership. I think if you're really going to have a long career and you're really going to make it, you've got to be self-motivated, and you've got to be able to make some decisions for yourself. If you've got someone holding your hand the whole time, you know, I don't think you'll ever figure out how to, you know, get out of a tricky situation on your own. So I think that does. I think most of the Melbourne Track Club athletes are strong individuals and are pretty independent. We are a team, but I think we are pretty strong, independent individuals. And not having Nick here the whole time also makes people like Genevieve and I, Brett Robinson, you know, people who've been around the group for a while, really step up and be leaders. And who knows, it could be grooming us to step in the coaching ranks one day.
Really?
No.
Is that a no on behalf of Ryan, Jen, or is that a no for both of you?
I want your job.
It's a good job.
No, I don't. I think Ryan would be a good coach because he seems to have patience, but I feel like it'd be very difficult. I don't think I'll be slipping into that job. I've bloody had to coach myself through injuries enough. I'll be ready to step away when the shoes are hung up.
Speaking of leadership, and we'll let you go soon because I know that, Jen, you've got to get to a massage, which is important preparation for the athlete. You both had leadership roles at Nitro, which was just tremendous. This time last year, we were right in the middle of it. It did such a great thing for athletics, and it's sad that we're not being able to experience it again. What were your takeaways from that, from a leadership perspective, being surrounded by a team trying to get the best out of some other athletes?
Yeah, for me it was such a different experience because you know, obviously, like I said earlier, this sport is very individual, and you're never really that invested in other athletes' performances, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what everyone else does. You kind of just focus on yourself. But in this aspect, Nitro really brought that team atmosphere together, and it was, you know, such a electric stage, the track. It became more of like a production, and it was really exciting. I was invested in every single athlete in Team Australia. I wanted to win more than Bolt wanted to win. And I think it kind of brought me back to my college days. I went to college in America, and they are very, you know, passionate about the whole team aspect. And it's actually more important than the individual performances. And I loved that about college. And I think when we brought Nitro around, it really got everyone together and involved. And it made me realize that it'd be cool to have a captaincy that was so important, you know, on the Australian teams that we take away to the Olympics and World Champs and Commonwealth Games, because I do think it had an important role. And a lot of athletes, I remember coming to me asking questions at Nitro, even though it felt like a bit like a game show. I still felt like I had a, you know, a role that was to lead and be there for people that needed me to.
I think it showed about leadership, but I kind of, my opinion on it all was it, I don't think the captain or, you know, the leader should be the best athlete. I think it should just be someone who, you know, is respected and does get along with everyone. Not a knock on any Australian athletic captains in the past, but, you know, usually the best athlete in the team is usually one of the most selfish athletes as well. They're trying to win an Olympic gold medal or a World Championship gold medal. So if you are going to have a captain, and there's probably grounds to say that it's a waste of time as well, because it is an individual sport. But if you were going to have one, I think someone like, you know, Genevieve, who was incredibly selfless and does get along with everyone on the team and is incredibly approachable, someone like that with those characteristics would be the way to go, I think.
Interesting views. We're talking with Jen Lacaze and Ryan Gregson. Athletics nomination trials underway next week on the Gold Coast. We've already got 14 athletes in the team, 6 marathon runners, 3 in the 10,000 and 5 para athletes. They were named just recently. The quota spots for the Commonwealth Games makes life interesting. We've only got 111 spots in total, but some countries, you know, New Zealand, South Africa, have only picked 3 women in total. The Canadian team's small. Relay teams are virtually going to be non-existent. I've got a very strong view on this. It's absolute rubbish. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think it. My view on small teams, I think it. I understand maybe at a World Championships where it's in these countries, it doesn't get the exposure, so maybe just send the best. But for Olympics and Commonwealth Games, I think you got to, every country's got to pick as much as possible, because the way I see it, say you got an athlete from Wollongong, and then you got an athlete from Ballarat, an athlete from Geelong, all getting picked. If they go back to those regional areas and go back to their local, you know, training grounds, and you know, they can just have a huge impact on other young athletes in the area. And if you're only picking 3 women from these countries that you named, well, you know, these athletes aren't going to have much of an impact on the young athletes growing up, because they're not going to be able to see them. If you pick 100 athletes from a country, you know, these people will come from all different parts of Australia, and they go back to their hometowns. They spread the message. Yeah, maybe one of the conditions of being picked is you got to go speak to some schools or some little athletics clubs and spread the word. But I think every country should be trying to pick as many as possible.
Yeah, and we should say that's a Commonwealth Games Federation quota, not Commonwealth Games Australia, and I'd hate to be a selector. Hey, Jen, just before we let you go, how was Christmas Day for you? Have a good one?
It was one of the best ones I've ever had. Total shock, because I was waking up with the mentality that Ryan told me we had to get up early because I had to fit all my cross-training in before presents are opened. So I was in a bit of a foul mood knowing that I had 2 hours of cross-training in front of me, but he woke me up insisting that I open my present, which, again, I wasn't happy about. And I was like, can we just wait for this? And he's like, no, I think you should do yours now. But obviously I opened a box and he knelt down and proposed, and it was one of the most magical next few hours of my life. The only thing was my mother decided to go on a cruise the night before into international waters, and we spent the day trying to track her down on a cruise ship to tell her the news, because out of 4 kids, I'm the first to get engaged, and she's always complaining, saying she'll be 60 before any of us, you know, get engaged and she gets to see a wedding. So we spent the day, you know, trying to contact a cruise ship that finally got onto her by the night time, but social media had already picked it up before she got to see it. So.
Well, that does happen when you post something to your 124,000 Instagram followers.
34,000.
The encouragement came from Ryan. Ryan's like, I think it's time you let everyone know. Your mother might not find out for another 5 days, but yeah, she saw it on Instagram and then rang me. So it was still as magical as ever, she said, and she was very emotional, and we're very excited. And this is going to be a big year for all things running and outside running.
How much pressure, Ryan? Were you nervous? Sleepless night?
I had a sleepless night just because I just didn't want to stuff up the handing of the box and then kind of walking over to her side of the bed before she, like, so I could kneel down before she opened it up. Like, it was a bit of timing. So that's what I was just...
I woke up to him in the middle of the night popping a sleeping tablet, and that's when I knew, like a melatonin, knowing that I was like, wow, it's strange that he can't sleep the night before Christmas. But I think it was just all a bit of excitement for him, and it ended up being a really nice day. We had a lot of champagne and croissants.
As you should do on Christmas Day when you're celebrating your engagement as well. Hey, guys, thanks for joining us. I know that it's the last day up at Falls Creek. You're getting ready to come back down from the mountain. Trials next week. Hope the foot is okay, Jen, and you're able to, if not compete next week, but then we'll hopefully still see you at the Games. And for Ryan, we wish you all the very best with your races next week in what is one of the most competitive events in Australian athletics at the moment.
Yeah, great. Thanks a lot, Dave.
Thanks for your time. Jen Lacaze and Ryan Gregson. That's it for this edition of Gold Coast Gold. A reminder, you can subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an edition. You can join us at Commonwealth Games Australia on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram to keep up with all the news regarding the Australian team at the 2018 Gold Coast Commonwealth Games. Until next week, thanks for your company on Gold Coast Gold.